By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal. Each and every single day we listen to the glorious Quran. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, today we shall be beginning a new chapter. Let's inshallah Azza wa Jal listen to the recitation of the glorious Quran. And whilst the Quran is being recited, it is our job to give our full attention to the recitation of the glorious Quran. Whatever it is we are doing, just pause for a moment, you know, whatever you may be doing, just pause, my dear viewers, wait, let's listen to the Quran Sharif. Once the Quran Sharif, the recitation has been completed, then you could continue whatever it is you are doing. And also, my dear viewers, please make good intentions, because the more good intentions you make, the more reward you shall gain. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban رحم والا.
الحمد لله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وجعل الظلمات والنور ثم الذين كفروا بربهم يعدلون.
سب خوبیاں اللہ کو جس نے آسمان اور زمین بنائے اور اندھیریاں اور روشنی پیدا کی, اس پر کافر لوگ اپنے رب کے برابر ٹھہراتے ہیں.
هو الذي خلقكم من طين ثم قضى أجلا وأجل مسمى عنده ثم أنتم تمترون.
وہی ہے جس نے تمہیں مٹی سے پیدا کیا, پھر ایک میعاد کا حکم رکھا اور ایک مقررہ وعدہ اس کے یہاں ہے, پھر تم لوگ شک کرتے ہو.
وَهُوَ اللَّهُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ يَعْلَمُ سِرَّكُمْ وَجَهْرَكُمْ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تَكْسِبُونَ.
اور وہی اللہ ہے آسمانوں کا اور زمین کا, اسے تمہارا چھپا اور ظاہر سب معلوم ہے اور تمہارے کام جانتا ہے.
وَمَا تَأْتِيهِمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانُوا عَنْهَا مُعْرِضِينَ.
اور ان کے پاس کوئی بھی نشانی ان کے رب کی نشانیوں سے نہیں آتی مگر اس سے منہ پھیر لیتے ہیں.
فَقَدْ كَذَّبُوا بِالْحَقِّ لَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِيهِمْ أَنبَاءُ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ.
تو بے شک انہوں نے حق کو جھٹلایا جب ان کے پاس آیا, تو اب انہیں خبر ہوا چاہتی ہے اس چیز کی جس پر ہنس رہے تھے.
أَلَمْ يَرَوْا كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنْ قَرْنٍ مَكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَا لَمْ نُمَكِّنْ لَكُمْ وَأَرْسَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِدْرَارًا وجعلنا الأنهار تجري من تحتهم فأهلكناهم بذنوبهم وأنشأنا من بعدهم قرنا آخرين.
کیا انہوں نے نہ دیکھا کہ ہم نے ان سے پہلے کتنی سنگتیں یعنی قومیں کھپا دیں؟ انہیں ہم نے زمین میں وہ جماؤ دیا جو تم کو نہ دیا، اور ان پر موصلہ دھار پانی بھیجا، اور ان کے نیچے نہریں بہائیں، تو انہیں ہم نے ان کے گناہوں کے سبب ہلاک کیا اور ان کے بعد اور سنگت اٹھائی.
وَلَوْ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا فِي قِرْطَاسٍ فَلَمَسُوهُ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ لَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ مُبِينٌ.
اور اگر ہم تم پر کاغذ میں کچھ لکھا ہوا اتارتے کہ وہ اسے اپنے ہاتھوں سے چھوتے، جب بھی کافر کہتے کہ یہ نہیں مگر کھلا جادو.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. ریویوز آن دی چینل، الحمدللہ. Have just listened to the recitation of the glorious Quran. Let's now move on to the Naat Sharif of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم.
آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین ہے بڑی دولت، اے نانا اے حسین دور کر فرقت، اے نانا اے حسین اپنی دے قربت، اے نانا اے حسین. آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین ہے بڑی دولت، اے نانا اے حسین.
یا نبی میرے آقا، یا نبی میرے آقا، یا نبی میرے آقا، یا نبی. غم تمہارا چین لے لے گی نہ دے،
دے دو یہ راحت اے نانا اے حسین. اب مدینے میں بلا کر دور کر میں فرقت، اے نانا اے حسین.
آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین ہے بڑی دولت، اے نانا اے حسین
دور کر فرقت، اے نانا اے حسین اپنی دے قربت، اے نانا اے حسین.
میں مدینے کا مسافر اب بنوں، کیجئے رحمت اے نانا اے حسین.
چل مدینہ کی بشارت دیجئے، کیجئے رحمت اے نانا اے حسین. آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین ہے بڑی دولت، اے نانا اے حسین.
آپ کی نسبت میرے آقا، یا حسین میرے آقا، یا نبی میرے آقا، یا نبی.
آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین ہے بڑی دولت، اے نانا اے حسین.
اپنا غم اور چشم ہم دے دیجئے، کیجئے رحمت اے نانا اے حسین.
عشق میں آہے برور و تار ہوں، کیجئے رحمت رحمت اے نانا اے حسین،
آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین، ہے بڑی دولت اے نانا اے حسین،
دور کر فرقت اے نانا اے حسین، اپنی دے قربت اے نانا اے حسین،
یا رسول اللہ انظر حالنا، یا حبیب اللہ اسمع قولنا، اننی فی بحر ہم مغرق، خذ یدی ساحل لنا اشکالنا، اپنے جلبوں سے عطا فرمائیے نزعہ میں راحت
اے نانا اے حسین،
دو بقیے پاک میں دو گز زمین، تم پے تربت اے نانا اے حسین، آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین، ہے بڑی دولت اے نانا اے حسین،
دور کر فرقت اے نانا اے حسین، اپنی دے قربت اے نانا اے حسین،
دعوت اسلامی والوں پر صدا، کیجئے رحمت اے نانا اے حسین، ہر ولی کا واسطہ تار پر، کیجئے رحمت اے نانا اے حسین، آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین، ہے بڑی دولت اے نانا اے حسین،
دور کر فرقت اے نانا اے حسین، اپنی دے قربت اے نانا اے حسین، آپ کی نسبت اے نانا اے حسین، ہے بڑی دولت اے نانا اے حسین،
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. ریویوز اور مدن چینل، الحمدللہ عز و جل، یو آر واچنگ رائز اینڈ شائن. ناؤ وی ہیو آور گیسٹ. How are you, mashallah?
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Mashallah. Alhamdulillah. We're speaking about parents, reviews of Madani channel. Such individuals who, we can all say we wouldn't be here without them. It's not only not be here without them, though. It's not only be here without them, my dear viewers. It's that without their efforts, without their love, without their strife, all the even the difficulties, the pain they went through. And I say they, yes, the mother, and this is something which only a mother can understand. You know, even I cannot understand, my dear viewers, how much pain and difficulty a mother goes through. But a mother can truly understand. And then there's also this, the, you know, the father too. And he said the father is the, is quite famous, isn't it, about the mother. That the mother, my dear viewers of Madani channel, is that individual who Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam states that Jannah is below the feet of your mother. And he said about the father that the father is your middle door to paradise. Both are central, both are important, both are pillars, two pillars, my dear viewers of Madani channel. Love, respect, affection, both are deserving of. We must respect both. We must honor both. We must serve both. Yes, we must. It's not just they need to be served. They must be respected. No. We need to respect them. We need to respect our parents. And there would be some who have their parents, some whose parents have passed away. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them. And those whose parents are still with them, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow them to meet too. Make the most of it for us to be able to respect and honor our parents, inshallah, for us to be able to serve our parents, inshallah. Now, my dear viewers of Madani channel, parents have their own duties, and the first duty is of the parents. Later comes the duty of the children. What do I mean by later? I mean, when a child is born, the child has no duty, the child has no ability, the child's not able to do anything. It's all on the parents. The parents need to do everything. So whether that's feeding, whether that's changing, you know, as we would say, changing nappies, some would say changing diapers, whatever it may be, you know, cleaning them, washing them, taking care of their every need. And in fact, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, imagine this, that sometimes we think of parents and those parents who have become elderly, those parents who, yes, have reached an old age. They are now not as strong as they used to be. However, you're a parent. But first of all, I was going to say was that there's a huge difference. We're speaking about serving parents. We must obviously honor and respect our parents. But there's a huge difference because when our parents become old, they can still, most of the time, speak. They can still tell us, do this, do that. But when a child is a newborn, a child, all he does is one thing, cry. And you don't know whether it's got a stomachache, whether it's hurt itself, you know, whether it's hungry.
Fully dependent on the parents, isn't it?
Completely dependent on the parents. How about what would you say?
When you mentioned to me the topic, I was coming here this morning, I was thinking, how can you give an example of the value of parents? Because it's easy for me to say that, you know, you cannot value your parents until they're gone. You'll realize the true value of them. And I was trying to think of an example of how I can possibly try and make people realize how valuable your parents are. And although it's one, even this is on a minuscule, a small scale, that alhamdulillah here, you know, we're in the UK, we're blessed. We've got clothes, we've got electricity, we've got water, we've got shelter, we've got protection. We've got all of these things that we can think of. And you see these clips sometimes on social media where they're making appeals for people that are, you know, in Africa or in certain places around the world where they don't have fresh water, they don't have, you know, electricity, they don't have anything. And all of a sudden, for that few moments, you say, you know what, I'm lucky that I've got electricity. I'm lucky that I've got water. I'm lucky that I've got shelter. And you value all of them things. And I was thinking to myself that is, and you can envisage it, you can feel it. You can think to yourself, you know what, I can feel now what they're feeling a little bit, and I can feel how lucky I am.
Nothing, it's a huge difference, though.
Nothing can prepare you for the loss of your parents, because it's something that, you know, you can envisage not having water, you can envisage not having electricity, not having protection, not having a shelter. But to actually mentally prepare yourself for the loss of your parents is impossible. And, you know, you talk about, you know, the fact that that child is fully dependent on the parents. And as they get older, you're still dependent. And as they get older and older, you say that, oh, they're less and less dependent. But Shabazz, I've realized that, you know, my father, he passed away when he's 81. And again, all right, you have that connection of loss. That's without a doubt. But I still feel that I've lost that guidance. Mm-hmm. You know, that guidance that I had from my father. And I feel that after that, whenever I made mistakes, I'm thinking, you know what? If my dad was here, I wouldn't have made this mistake.
What sort of relationship did they have with their father? Were you close to
him? I was very close. We were like friends, alhamdulillah. Because I was the eldest. Mm. And so my father was a mechanic. And so I learned, you know, to mess about with cars with him. So I was working with cars with him. He was buying cars and selling cars. And I was with him all the time. So we used to go to the scrapyards together, to the auctions together, to buy and sell. So I was with him all the time. You know, we'd go everywhere together. And also being viewers here maybe realize that I was born in the 60s. Yeah. And in the 60s, what happened at that time was...
You're old then, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm old. Yeah, I'm showing my age. In the 60s, there were very few families here. Yeah. A lot of the elders that were here, they didn't have the children here. They brought the children over later on. Yeah. And there's reasons for that. And we can explain that. So I was like the only kid. Yeah. And so my father took me everywhere.
What do you mean you were the only kid?
Even within the community.
A Pakistani community.
Within the Asian Pakistani community, very few people had children. So I was like a little bit spoiled, so to speak, because nobody had their kids with them, right? Okay. So I was the only kid in the community. So my father would take me everywhere. And I remember sitting in, you know, mustard committee meetings. I remember sitting in, you know, all sorts of places. My father would take me with him. So right from a young age, I was fortunate. I was very, very close to my dad. So I was lucky that way.
Wow, mashallah. And you could always go to them for advice and...
Yes, that again, I was lucky. And that's something I always say to people, that you should be able to have your doors open for your children as parents, that whatever your children ask, they need to be able to. And I remember that I had teenage problems, as you know, everyone has teenage problems where, you know, someone wants to pick a fight with you or someone wants to do this and do that. And I would go to my dad and say, look, dad, this is what's happening here. And sometimes I'd be surprised at the advice he would give me. But yes, I could go to him for anything. Alhamdulillah, I was very, very lucky that way. You know, that I had that relationship with him. I could literally discuss anything with him. So I was lucky.
Do you think being an elder son is the advantage you had?
I think so, yes. I think so, that being the eldest, I had that advantage. Because I was closer. I can see, obviously, I've got siblings. I've got two sisters and a brother. And I feel that I was fortunate. I was closer to my father than them. And that's not their fault. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not as if they did something that caused that. But I think I was just closer because I was the eldest.
This is really true. Khalifa, we're seven brothers.
MashaAllah.
Seven brothers. I'm the second to last. Second to youngest.
Acha.
Now, you know the way my brothers can speak to my father? Meaning, I can't even speak to my father properly. Suddenly, but this is reality. Yeah. For a very long time, Khalifa, I didn't know how to speak to my parents in my own language. They don't speak in English. And I wasn't able to speak to them in my own language. And I know that a majority time of, you know, my mother's life, although I was the closest to my mother, I was like, don't let you say the ladla. I was like, you know, the spoiled one.
The spoiled one,
of
yeah.
my mother, yes. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, I was really close to her. But I wasn't able to have a proper conversation, even up until now.
No.
I'm not able, now I'm a lot better because I will speak my own language a lot more. But it's not the Urdu language.
It's the eldest again. And I look back and think that my father kept me close, yeah, from a young age. He would take me everywhere. And so, you know, as parents, all right, my father kept me close. Did he make a mistake with his others? No, I can't say he did. I've never said my father made a mistake.
Why is it that the first one's always generally the closest?
I think it's because they are the first one. Hmm. And naturally, I think sons are closer to the father and daughters are closer to the mother. That's natural. And I think that's it.
But I don't know. Mine was the other way around. Well, we were only brothers anyway.
Yeah, so, I mean, like you say, you haven't got any sisters to say that, you know, that are my sisters. So with seven brothers, yes, I can understand that. I mean, like my father, he was nine brothers. Mm. Yeah, there were nine brothers. And they were very close to the mother. Yeah? They were very close to the mother. I remember my father being very, very close to his mother, to my grandmother. But yeah, that's it. But I think generally you could say that mothers and daughters, fathers and sons. Because, I mean, I'll give you an example within the environment of Dawat Islami that my daughter, she attends the weekly ishtamas and the gatherings. And who does she attend them with? The mother. Yeah? So whenever they're going to someone's house or, you know, for a khatam or whatever it is, it's with the mother, obviously. And so you see those, mashallah, brothers of Dawat Islami, that when they're going to the ishtama or they're going on a madri kafla, they're going somewhere, they're taking the son. And so that's how to build that relationship. And you see, you know, even within the environment of the Islamic Shabazz, but you see people that have got sons and yet you never see them. Yeah? You see the Babaliks who've got sons, you never see them. Yet you see others whose sons literally from this age, yeah?
Yeah.
From literally carrying age, they're taking them to the Ishtama with them, they're going with them, and every day they were with them. And you can see that, you know, there'll be a difference between these two children when they grow up. That son that from that young age, the father has taken them everywhere, will have a different relationship, you know? And so I think it's something that, you know, if we want our children to be closer to us, it's not something that we can switch on when they're teenagers and say, yes, become closer. It's something that we need to build on.
Something you need to build on, and that's by spending more time with them.
Yes.
But what about a parent? And sometimes this is a reality many times, the way you were saying that when you were growing up, most people were elderly, the Asian community. Most of them were the elderly. And why? Because they were working and they were thinking, yes, we're working on our children. Now, those people, many a time possibly would, or I can't speak for everybody, but many a time they wouldn't have that relationship with their children. How did that?
I think with our culture, I think the aim was obviously to make money. You know? Because if you look back historically, and I think it's changing now, that the aim at that time, I remember my father saying to me that the people that came over initially, they wanted to make 1 lakh rupees. Yeah. And then as soon as they made 1 lakh rupees, they're going to go back home. Yeah, that was the plan. Yeah. Ek lakh rupiye barsaat mein wapas ja. So we're going to make 1 lakh rupees and go back. And he told me a story that there was a person in Manchester that he made 1 lakh rupees. Yeah. Now, just to put it in context, that in Pakistan, 1 lakh rupees at the moment is what?
Nowadays, £500.
Yeah. £500 is 1 lakh rupees. But just to put it in context, that, you know, a plot of land that could be bought in them times. 1 lakh, for those viewers that don't understand the terminology, is 100,000.
100,000.
A plot of land that could be bought then for 100 rupees, 100 rupees cannot be bought for 10 million rupees now, right? So at that time, that 1 lakh rupees was a lot.
This is only 60 years ago we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, I remember that plots of land in cities were selling for 100 rupees, 200 rupees. Yeah?
In Pakistan.
In Pakistan. So people, when they, but this person that made this 1 lakh rupees, he went back and he bought what they have the term, I don't even know the size, canal.
Yes.
Big canal. Gear, you yeah. know, whatever this is like. All I know is big plots of land. And so he went back. He went back, but very few people went back because what happened was that greed. We want to make more, we want to make more, we want to make more. And then what they realized was that, oh, we need to call our kids over here because we're not going back.
Mm.
Yeah? And then in the 70s and the latest 70s, we started to see the influx of families. And so a lot of that generation that grew up, they grew up without the father. Because the father was here, the mother was over there bringing up the kids, and they grew up, they might have been reached 12, 13, 14 without a father. So you see that now, that them parents, them children have now become parents.
Mm.
And that effect of them 12, 14 years without their parents, has had an impact on them, how they've treated their kids. Because they grew up without a father figure, and then they feel that we don't need to be a father figure. So I think, you know, it's important for us as parents to take one step back and think, you know, what am I achieving here? What am I doing here? And, you know, as a result of us not giving that time to our children, then we're not giving the tarbiyah to our children.
But this is what some people think, that I'm earning for them.
Yeah, I know, but earning's not everything, is it? You know that, you know, I remember someone said to me once that, literally said that, you know, if you give your son £1 million, yeah, when you die, here you are, you're my son, Shabazz, but here's £1 million, yeah? Now, I'm not giving you any time, I'm not giving you any tarbiyah. You know, how long will that £1 million last? All right, let's say it lasts you a lifetime, yeah? How am I going to benefit in that grave from that £1 million? Other than the fact that my son's happy. Yeah? He'll not do anything for me because he won't know what to do for me. He will not be able to do dua for me. He'll not do anything for me. And so, you know, if, and as a result of that, you know, you have these scary scenarios nowadays that people are saying that if we don't give our tarbiyah to our children now, then within two or three generations, there's a huge risk that that generation will not be Muslims.
Yes.
And so, you know, we are responsible for what's happening two or three generations down the road. So if we can ensure the iman of our children, then inshallah, they'll ensure the and so on and so on and so on, and we'll benefit from that.
It's a Khalid Bhai, isn't it, that it's only about three generations what they mentioned.
Yeah.
Now, the first generation, they change their clothes. The second generation, they change the language. The third generation, they change their religion.
Of course.
And we are seeing this. Even the ones who came directly from Pakistan, they would be wearing salwar kameez. Mm-hmm. They've come here now, they've changed their clothes.
They change the clothes, they change the environment, they change the people that they're associating with. And so gradually, they're going further and further away with the deen for whatever reason. But these are the things that we need to look at, you know, as a community, as parents, that is that really what we want? Yes, we'd like to have our children having the nicest clothes. As a parent, you always want the best for your children. You want your children to have what you didn't want. Yeah. So if you didn't have a car, you want your children to have a car.
This is a big problem, isn't it, Khalid Bhai? We want to give our children, this is what, you know, whenever sometimes I ask some people, I say, look, you're giving them, don't you think it's a bit too much?
I think
Khalid Bhai, look, what they say to me, what they say is, look, I didn't have it when I was growing up, so I want to give them that. And what I'll say to them is, look, okay, you're trying to give them what your parents didn't give you, but what about the things your parents did give you? What about the mannerism, the respect for elders? And
we were talking about this yesterday, actually, that, you know, I, when my daughter was born, I wanted to spoil her rotten, I'll be honest with you. Yeah, I wanted to get everything for her, you know, all this and this and all, you know. And it was my bachun kimi, my wife, she kept me in check. She said, no, don't. You'll spoil it.
It reminded me of myself as well.
Yeah. So she was the one that kept me in check. No, you'll spoil it. And I'm like, I'm having to keep the reins in, yeah? And now I've got a granddaughter. And I was saying to my wife, I said, look, now, you know, don't tell me. Yeah. This is my job to spoil my granddaughter. But again, she's saying no. But like you said, you need to give the children what they need. Not everything that we want is what we need. Yeah. I remember someone famously saying that, you know, I wanted strength, yeah, and Allah gave me problems to solve, yeah. And at the end, he said that I didn't get what I want; I get what I needed.
What you needed,
you know. Then problems give me strength as a result of resolving the problems. And so we need to give our children strength by giving them the tarbiyat. And you know, nowadays our children are growing up, and if a child does something wrong or a child is disobedient, then our concern is that that child is disobedient to me. Yeah? Our concern is not that that child will be written amongst those people that are disobedient to parents, yeah? And will face the wrath or the punishment of those children who are disobedient to the parents.
Yeah.
And so that should be our concern, not our concern that, oh, he's disobedient to me, And so it's very important that we, you know, give our children that time. Parents are very important, but at the same time, the role of the parents is probably more important.
Allahu Akbar. Khalifa, what would you say is the, it may be a bit difficult to answer, what would you say is the best thing that your father gave you, or the best advice the father gave you?
Allahu Akbar. It is hard, but there's loads of advice that obviously my father gave me. But I was just thinking the other day about something that my father said to me once, and he said to me that he used to scare me, you know, when I was little. And I'd say to, he said to me, "Where have you been?" Yeah, and I'd tell him, and he said, "Don't lie, because I'll know." Yeah. And now I've grown up, I'm thinking, how did my father know? Yeah, how would my father know where I've been? But I remember him once saying to me, he said to me that liars don't have any feet. Right? And I said, what do you mean, Dad? He said, liars can't run. Eventually they'll get caught. So you lie today, you'll get caught tomorrow. Yeah. And I remember that. I'll never forget that. And he said to me, no matter what you do, don't lie. And at that time, obviously, I didn't know about, you know, the great Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah ta'ala, and that, the advice that the mother had given to. But now I look back and I thought, in the same way my father gave me that advice, that no matter what happens, don't lie. Because, and his analogy was, liars don't have any feet, yeah? You'll eventually get caught. And so that upbringing was very important. And I remember that if I ever got into trouble with my father, it was because I was didn't come home at a certain time, or I didn't tell him where I was. Yeah? And my father wanted to know that. And I remember one thing that you're talking about, it come to my mind now, that my father sometimes did things that at the time I didn't understand. And later on in time, I did. And so that, again, is important for our children. That sometimes, you know, we may think that we know more than our parents. Yeah. But our parents have seen more than us.
Yes.
Yeah? And that's very important to realize.
Experience.
And I remember that I was probably about, I don't know, 13, 14. And one day my father said to me, you know, I see you, you know, with these people. Who are they? I said, they're my friends. What are they called? And I told him. And then my father said to me, what are the parents called?
I was waiting for that question.
And I thought, why is he asking this question, yeah? Why is my father asking? And I said, I don't know. He said, find out. And he kept it in a little stern voice, yeah, find out. And I thought, well, my friends? What's, you know, and I couldn't understand it. So I thought, okay, because alhamdulillah, I look back and I'm thankful that I was quite an obedient child, alhamdulillah. So in conversation, you know, with them, I'm talking to, oh, yeah, so, you know, so what's your dad called? Maybe you, you know, maybe my dad knows your dad, in, you know, just in the conversation to get the names. So I got all the names, yeah? So I got all the names of these people.
Did you write them down?
I just remembered you can't write them down in front of you, know, because it looks obvious.
Exactly.
It looks obvious then, doesn't it? Yeah, or why is he writing the names down? So it looks a bit obvious that way. So anyway, so I memorized the names and I came home and I said, Abaji, you know, you remember you asked that question? He says, yes. And I said, that friend of mine, his father called this. Okay, that friend of mine. And then mentioned it. I said, okay. He said, you know that friend there, his father called this. I said, yeah. I do not want you being with him from now on. And I'm thinking, why? You know, I didn't say anything. Again, like I said, alhamdulillah, I look back and I'm thinking, I didn't answer back or anything. I'm thinking, why? My friend? Yeah. And to be honest, inside of myself, although I didn't say it, I said to myself, my friend, what's it going to do with you? Yeah, that's, but I didn't say it, alhamdulillah. But I thought, you know what, okay, Tiga, okay, just to keep my dad happy. And alhamdulillah, I had that relationship with my dad. I stayed away from him, right? I disassociated with him, stayed away from him, and removed him eventually from my friend circle. And, you know, I remember that 5 or 6 years later, I found out that that family had been involved in drugs and drug dealing, and they were like, you know, the pioneers of the drug dealers, so to speak, because there was very few people at that time. And so those pioneers, if you want to call them, that, you know, the community knew about him, and my father knew. And so my father said, stay away from the people. So my father in that way was protective. You know, he'd look out for me and he'd find out, you know, who, where I was going and what I was doing. And that's why he wanted to know. And nowadays I feel that as parents, you know, we don't care what our children are. You know, we don't care what our children are doing. You know, Shabazz Bhai, I mean, I know you're a lot younger than me, but I'm sure you will remember that there was a time where the Mubalik of Dawat Islami would say that, you know, if you've got a computer, make sure it's in the living room. Yeah?
No, I don't.
You don't remember that? You are really a young kid, aren't you? Yeah? There was a, it obviously, when there wasn't the laptops or the PC tablets or the mobile phones, yeah? We used to say to parents, look, make sure you've got the computer in your living room because you know what they're watching then. You can see what they're doing. Nowadays,
you got everything you got.
So what's happening now is we don't know. Yeah. So at that time, we used to say to parents, you know, so you can know what they're doing, you know what they're watching, you can monitor them. Now, It's so hard to monitor what your children are doing, what they're watching, who they're associating with, what they're playing with. You know, and you know, you can walk into rooms where kids have got headphones on, yeah, and they're playing online games. And I've seen them acting in black, swearing, yeah, swearing to people. Oh, why have you not killed them?
However, some people would say, well, what do you think about this? That there's a person who's smoking marijuana, smoking weed, as you would say, and he's smoking with his own father. This person is smoking weed, marijuana, with his own father. And if we're to go to the father, and the father says, well, I'd rather he does it with me than with somebody else. And nowadays, a lot of people have this mindset that, you know, he's swearing in front of me, so at least I know what he's doing, the wrong things he's doing too. So he wouldn't be doing the wrong things or even worse things behind my back. What would you say about this?
But you've put him on a path, haven't you? You put him on a path where smoking marijuana is acceptable. I mean, there's two examples that you meant, the swearing and the marijuana one.
Yeah.
So the swearing one is one where he's swearing at people, but because you put him in the habit, a day will come where he will swear at you.
And this is what happens. I've seen it with my own eyes.
I have a friend, and I've known him for 25 years, right? And I remember when children were young, and he was talking to me, this friend of mine, and he was so angry about something, and he was swearing. And I said to him, look, brother, if you have to swear, don't swear in front of these kids. Yeah. Oh, what? So, you know. And I said to him, look, you're setting a precedent here. Yeah. And I remember a couple of years ago, I was at his house and his children were swearing at him as they stormed out the house.
Yeah.
And I said to you, remember, brother, I told you 25 years ago, you set a precedent then and now they're swearing at you. Yeah. How do you feel now? And he said, it's too late, isn't it? I said, yeah. But the marijuana one, is another example where you're getting, all right, smoking in front of me. But what happens when you're not there? And he wants marijuana. Does he wait for you? All right? You're at work, you're somewhere else. Does he wait for you? Or does he take it? Or does he go to somewhere else where marijuana is available? Or if you've not got any marijuana, where he goes? So you're setting him on a path. You're setting him on a path where, you know, he's going towards that there. And if you look at Islam, Shabazz, where I realize that one of the beauties of Islam is Islam is the cure for illnesses, yes? But Islam is the prevention of illnesses.
Yes.
Islam prevents these things from happening in the first place. So yes, we might say that, okay, certain things could be classed as acceptable or halal, you know, within this community. For example, in this community, they'll say that, you know, you'll see some people that say one glass of wine every day is good for your health. There are people that will say
this,
yeah? What does Islam say?
No.
Yeah? Because it doesn't want you going on that path. In this society, they will say to you, look, if you are going to take drugs, then don't share the needles. Yeah? Because sharing the needles, you could get all sorts of illnesses. What does Islam say? No to drugs. In this community, the community will say to you, look, if you're going to have relationships outside of marriage, then take precautions, blah, blah, blah. What does Islam say? No. Islam prevents that from happening. You're not even going to go down that path. Because once you're on a path, any path, it's hard to come back.
Beautiful.
And if you're on a good path, then it's easy to stay on that path. If you're on a bad path, it's easier to stay on that path. If you're on the good path, it's harder to get off that path and be on the bad path. And similarly, if you're on a bad path, it's harder to come off that. So what path are we putting our children on?
Beautiful example. Brilliant.
Something that we need to think about.
Yes, when we don't have those things, then who are we going to turn to?
Obviously, that's it. So it's very easy to say, well, he's doing it in front of me. He's drinking alcohol at home, so what's wrong with that? But he's not always going to be at home. You're not going to tie him to the house. He's smoking marijuana with me. And you see it, don't you, Shabazz, by that those children that are on that route.
Another question for you.
You like putting me on the spot, don't you?
Something which is not haram. It's not haram. Let's just say, for example, quad bikes.
Yeah.
But we know the dangers. There's a lot of accidents which are taking place. You know, you probably have people close to you who have passed away even, you know, due to, you know, things which are dangerous, even motorbikes. Now, motorbikes, obviously, we're not against it, are we? But they are dangerous, no matter how safe you wish to be. So what would you think of, you know, these things, putting your kids into...
Well, I remember it's a coincidence that there was a social media post a couple of days ago where this time last year, somebody passed away on a quad bike accident. Yeah, and they said it's been 1 year. And can you? And I knew that person, so that, you know, there's basically a post where can you do Fatiha dua for him? So we all did dua for him. But again, you know, I'll tell you how I was brought up. My father put the fear of me of motorbikes. You know, that's a probably, for me, it's probably a bad example that you've chosen, yeah? Because my father scared me of motorbikes. And he said to me that, I know, son, in this country, when you're 16, you can have a motorbike. You're not going to have one.
Right.
You're not going to have one. And he said, don't worry. As soon as you pass your driving test, I'll get you a car, but no way are you going to be on a motorbike. Yeah? Mm. In later years, there was a spell about 5 years ago where I was buying and selling a lot of vehicles. And I'd buy motorbikes as well. And my father said to me, okay, you're buying and selling them, but do not ride them. Even at this age, yeah? Mm. My father put the fear of me on motorbikes in. And I had a friend, my school friend. He died in a motorbike accident, you know, 30-odd years ago. And so, you know, again, it's if you tell a child not to do something, automatically they'll rebel. And they will not listen to you.
Mm.
You know, and I use this example, be it at the madrasa, be it with parenting, be it with anything. There was a time, maybe 30, 40 years ago, where it was do or die, where our children would, you know, you'll listen to me otherwise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be it the madrasa, whatever, karu ya maru, yeah? There was that do or die philosophy 30, 40 years ago, yeah? But now it's changed. And now children, rather than do or die, it's how am I? Why? Why can I not ride that bike? Why can I not do this? Why can I not do this? And so as parents, we need to have them answers, yeah? So you've given the example of motorbikes. Okay, why can I not have a girlfriend? Why can I not have drugs? Why can I not go to that party? Why can I not go and do this? Mm-hmm. All of these things that the parents nowadays, these are the problems that we're facing. Why can I not go to that party? Yeah? I'm not going to drink alcohol there. Yeah, I know, but why can't I go? We need to have them answers.
But even a pub, I'm going to a pub, but
why
I'm
can't I go to a
drink
pub?
Alcohol.
Why can't I, you know, yes. So this why, children want to know why. Mm-hmm. So if you say no, yeah, that's not good enough nowadays. They'll rebel. The children will rebel, so they need to know how and why. And as a parent, it's very important to have an answer, because what happens is a parent sometimes is, I mean, we're talking a lot about the bringing up, but as a parent, if you don't give them the answer, they'll go and find the answer.
Mm.
I want to have a girlfriend, what's wrong with that?
Mm.
Right? And you go, what? And you get angry at your child, yeah? Mm. And you won't answer the question, you just get angry at the child, you'll shout at the child will go out of the house. The child's gone out of the house, what does he do? He goes to someone and say, I asked my dad a question. Yeah, he didn't answer, he got angry. What was the question? Why can't I have a girlfriend?
Well, the asking was that.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with having a girlfriend. I've got a girlfriend. Come on. Yeah. And so he's got the wrong answer now, hasn't he? Because you've not provided him with the answer. And so nowadays, alhamdulillah, you know, Dawud Islami has got the scholars, mashallah, like yourself, where we can approach and say to them, look, give me this advice. Give me the Islamic reasoning behind this and explain to me. And if you don't have the answer, then as parents, it is, you know, our responsibility to go and find the answer from the scholars. Go and get that advice and say, look, this is the situation I'm facing. My child wants to do this. What do I do?
SubhanAllah. One thing which does come to mind in reference to this, Khalid bhai, is the saying of, and obviously there's many reasons, by the way, but just one saying which really always gets to me. The saying of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He states that when you wish to destroy a nation, make zina, fornication, prominent amongst the youth. And first, you know, when I read this, and then started thinking about it, I was like, wow. Really, I was like, wow, let's go to our daily reminder, inshallah,
inshallah.
Then we shall come back to this. But if you was up on the inshallah, alhamdulillah, azzajal, you are watching Rise and Shine. We have our respected, well, parent, mashallah, Khalid bhai. Yes, a parent, alhamdulillah, advice. I'm a parent too, alhamdulillah, azzajal, and it's an opportunity for me to learn, alhamdulillah, a lot, alhamdulillah, azzajal. I hope you are learning too. My dear viewers, let's move to our daily reminder. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Respecting rules of Mother Nation, we are humans, we make mistakes, but if we make any mistake, if we commit any sin, because of being human being, we should ask forgiveness from the court of Allah Ta'ala. We should make repentance. We should do tawbah in the court of Allah Ta'ala, because it is the saying of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when a person admits his sin, then repents, Allah Azza wa Jal accepts his repentance. So respect to viewers of Madinah, this is a glad tiding for us, for believers. that if we make any mistake, if any sin has been committed, then what should we do? We should make repentance. We should do tawbah in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He's so kind. He's so merciful. He's so compassionate. He will forgive our mistakes. He will forgive our sins. So do not delay in repenting, because we never know what is the last breath which we are going to take. Will depart from this mortal world. So never delay in making tawbah in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Khalid bhai, parents, what would you say is the biggest obstacle to being a parent in the, well, it's not only for the United Kingdom, the entire world, or possibly for United Kingdom too? Because they will be different here in comparison to other countries.
I think, you know, society is changing every day, you know, I mean, you can never imagine a time where these things in front of you didn't exist. You know, the mobile phone and the PC tablet.
I remember a time when we didn't really have... I remember the big phones, really. I was a kid, I used to have a phone.
But that's what I'm saying. These have become... For the children of today, they will not understand the time, you know? I remember talking to my daughter that there was a time where we used to phone people and we used to do this.
I never remember those. I've never...
And she couldn't... She obviously never remembered it. So times are changing, it's fast changing. And so as a result of that, the obstacles or the challenges, I would say, the challenges that as parents we are facing, they are changing. And as parents, we need to be aware of these challenges. We need to be aware of what is happening out there. And unfortunately, we're not aware of them. You know, I remember, you know, if we look at just drugs, the issue of drugs 10, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, it was, I used to go around and do talks on then, and people used to say, why are you talking about this? It's not a problem. Yeah. Ooh. Now, you know, because what happens is we bury our heads in the sands with problems. And you know, there's that, you know, you hear it, you know, the fire next door, don't put it out and the fire will come to you, the sinking ship, you know, and all these sort of things. We hear about these things. And as a community, we're forever doing this. And the other thing that we do as parents is we think, well, it's not happening to my kids, is it? Yeah. Shabazz kids, you know, our prayers are like, this has happened. Shabazz kids have gone off the rail. They're onto dodgy things, but my kids are okay, so I've got nothing to worry about. And we don't do anything. Yeah. We think, well, my kids are okay. And we don't think to them, okay, them kids are going off the rail, them kids, you know, what do I need to do to protect my kids? So as parents, we need to open our eyes and see what is happening around us. And, you know, I'll give you an example. You know, Shabazz, but you, like you say, you're a parent. You know, when your child was born, within a couple of hours of your child being born, it was given what's called a vitamin K injection. I don't know if you can remember this, because that was probably in the excitement of having a child, you probably didn't realize. They give a little injection in the heel of the child, yeah?
Right.
And that is to stop blood clotting because the child's just born, yeah? But you might not remember that, but you will remember that as the child is at 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, they have vaccinations, yes?
Yeah.
You do remember them?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
So they have all these vaccinations, and there's all sorts of different MMR, TB, and all these vaccinations that they have. I always say to people, what are these vaccinations? These vaccinations are put in that child at a young age to protect them child, that child from illnesses that are in the society. Yeah. So that child, when he grows up, because he's in the home environment, he's in a very clean and pure environment. You're washing the child all day, you're keeping the child clean. Them infections aren't there. So you are at a young age, you're vaccinating that child so that when the child goes out into society, them illnesses don't affect him. What about moral vaccinations? What about putting them vaccinations in our children at a young age so that they are ready to go into the society? Yeah. In the same way that a scientist knows what illnesses are out there and he'll vaccinate your child, in the same way we as parents need to know what illnesses are out there in the society to vaccinate our children and prepare them for that.
But there's a huge difference between a scientist, he knows the field.
But we, as parents, it's our responsibility to know the field. And if we are honest, Shabazz bhai, if I was to say things to you nowadays, now, you would not say they don't exist. You're not going to say to me drugs don't exist.
Allahu Akbar, the amount of drugs.
Okay. You're not going to say to me that, you know, a knife crime doesn't exist. You're not going to say to me that gangs don't exist. You're not going to say to me that, you know, teenage pregnancies don't exist. You're not going to say to me that all that. You know these exist. Yeah. Okay, so as a parent, you know they exist. What are you doing to protect your child from them? I think what we think is mera bachena, you know, I've got nothing to worry about. Yeah. And then what we do is, the mum will look after him. And the mum says, the dad will look after him. And then the parents say, oh, the madrasa teacher will look after him, yeah? They'll give him the tarbiyah. And we put this tarbiyah, this training on somebody else's head. You know, it's past the parcel. Oh, madrasa teacher. You know, you, so many times you go to the madrasa and you'll see children, parents saying, oh, you know, the child, sharati bacha, you sort him out.
Hmm.
Well, he's here for us 1 hour a day. He's with you 23 and you know. So we need to realize it's our responsibility. Do not shun your responsibility. Because on the day of judgment, if you say that, what did you do to bring up the child? You cannot say, oh, I got a good madrasa teacher. Yeah? What did you do? It's my responsibility.
We have been ordered cool.
Yes, it's us. It's us, our responsibility. Save yourself and your family from that fire. It is our responsibility. And so we cannot shun that responsibility. And I think what happens now is we think, oh, good school, good madrasa, my job's done. Yeah? And my other job, what's my other job? To make sure that they have good food on the table, good clothes. When they get married, we have a £20,000 shadi wedding. We get them a nice car. We get them a deposit for the house. My job's done. You know, that's our task list, if we think.
Is it not done if you were to put them into a good school, give them good education?
But is that a guarantee?
I mean, nothing's a guarantee, is it?
But what I'm saying, I remember someone saying to me, Shawaz, babe, and this scared me. And you know, so, some things people say to you a long time ago, and you never forget. 30 years ago, a person said to me, in this country, and that was 30 years ago, remember this. He said, in this country, that if you have a child and you give your child your full time, you have a chance of saving your child's iman. If you don't, you've got no chance. And that scared me. That a chance, only a chance.
Yeah, but you had this mindset 30 years ago about iman, etc.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Right. Although I didn't have Dawat Islami, I was, you know, involved.
Even that's really good because another person, it wouldn't really mean nothing to them.
Well, I'm quite old, so 30 years ago, I was probably only a little bit younger than you. But what I'm saying to you is that 30 years ago, that person said to me, and it still hit me to this day, that, you know, upbringing of our children is our responsibility. And we need to give full focus to them. And, you know, I've seen in my house that my daughter, she'd come home from school. And my wife would say to her, okay, but what have you done today? What have you learned today? And she'd like ask questions. Yeah? She'd ask questions to that child. And then that child, she would realize, you know, if there's anywhere where there's a risk of a very iman. And so it's very young, you know, a young age, giving that child that tarbiyat. Because, you know, you put a seed in the right place today, it'll grow into a strong tree. You put a seed in the wrong place today, then what's your chance of tomorrow? And I think we need to understand is, as parents, we think that when a child is a teenager, then we'll start giving them the tarbiyah. They're only little now. Yeah? Why should we train the children now? Why should we, you know, help the children?
Let them make the most of the child.
Yeah, let them enjoy themselves. I mean, you know, Tiga, okay, let them enjoy themselves, but at the same time, plant the seeds for the future.
Khalid bhai, you yourself, mashallah, and I know I'm making it towards you because it's more personal and, you know, you would be able to speak about it better, but generally too, inshallah. You yourself, mashallah, you're doing the works of Dawat Islami. You're giving time to Dawat Islami. You're also a father. How do you balance it all?
I remember Nigranishura.
Nigranishura.
Do you remember this? Yes. Nigranishura said beautiful words of wisdom. And I didn't hear him saying this. It was just read in the Shura Badani Pool that, you know, there's four things in your life. You know, certain things stick with you, don't you? You know, like you mentioned the Salahuddin Ayyubi, that them words stuck with you. These words stuck with me that he said that you need to get the right balance is that you need to earn money. Yeah, right. Without money, we cannot survive, you know. But unfortunately, what happens is our greed for money is that rather than it being a need, it becomes, you know, our life goal to have more money. Time to your family. We need to give time to our family. That is the second most important thing. Third is giving your personal spiritual development. And fourth is giving time back to the deen. And if you can try and get a balance on them, and it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy to get the right balance of giving time to the parents or times to your children. It is hard because nowadays busy schedules. But I think you need to set time aside. And I know someone not far from where I live. And every Sunday, yeah, no matter what, he says on Sunday, family time. Mm-hmm. And every Sunday he would take his family somewhere and they'd go and get something to eat. And they'd, you know, go out on a drive or whatever it is. And he'd set aside. And during the week, he'd try and give as much time, but that was a fixed time. Yeah. And he said that if I don't have that fixed time, then I might get busy and something like that. Mm. And I know nowadays, Shabazz, but you're mashallah, a busy person as well. It's hard to set aside time, but I think we have to set aside time and say that this time is quality time for my children. And this time is not time.
Phase enough as well.
And this time is not time where I'm with my children, but I'm also doing this.
Yeah? Also, yeah.
This is time where you sit down with the children and talk to the children and play with the children and tell stories to the children. How much time? However much time you can give, as much as possible, because they are your future. Yeah. Like I said to you, that money is going to disappear, that everything else is going to disappear. But these children, they are your sadkajariya. And so if you want to invest in the future, then spend time with what's going to benefit you. Yeah. And I think that's something that we need to realize, that this is our future. This is our real future.
One thing saying it, were you able to act on it?
No, it was hard. I'll admit it was hard. And I look back and I have regrets. I'm not going to deny it. I have regrets that I was, because one of my actual profession is that buying and selling is something that I do on the side. My actual profession is I'm a consultant software engineer. And as a consultant software engineer, I have to travel around the country, I visit sites and examine the software there. And I'd spend time there. So I'd be away from home. So I remember those times where I was working in Cornwall, I was working in Scotland, I was working in Wales, I was working all over the country. And as a result, I'm away from home. And I look back at that and I remember, you know, coming home when my child was very young and coming home and my wife said, well, she's learned to do this now, she's learned to do that. And I feel inside that guilt that I wasn't here.
I wasn't there to see
it. I wasn't here. So yes, I had that, you know, looking back in it. But then, you know, I also look back and think, you know, when there was an opportunity, when I was working away from home, I'd take them with me. Yeah.
Indeed.
That, okay, you know, I'll stay in a caravan there or I'll stay in a hotel there. Indeed. We'll stay as a family there. So I look back and think, probably in hindsight, I didn't give as much time as I wanted to, but alhamdulillah, I was blessed with the environment of Dawat Islami that as a result of that, that I feel that Dawat Islami gave my child more than I could have given. And I think that's a very important thing for us that, you know, in today's society, that if we can attach ourselves to the environment of Dawat Islami. I'll give you this, something that happened when my daughter was very, very young. She was only 3 or 4, yeah? I think I've told you this before. She went to the Ishtama with my wife. And when they're that age, they're literally in the corner playing, yeah? And they're not listening. And she came home and she said, Abuji, ji beta, mehndi is haram for you. And I looked at my wife, what's happened to her? And I said, beta, I've never worn mehndi, you've never seen it. But I'm just telling you, Abu, mehndi is haram for you. And I looked at my wife and I said, what? And they said, we were talking about mehndi and the fact that there's different types of mehndi, even for women, the sort of mehndi. And we also said in there that mehndi is haram for men. And she picked up on it. And she came home and she told me, how old was she? She was 3.
Ji.
Yeah, well, and I thought to myself...
Even nowadays, people don't know that.
Yeah, so I'm thinking to myself that at that young age, she's learning these masail effectively at this young age. Why? Because we took our child to the environment of Dawat Islami.
So I think this is mainly for beautification, you know, the way women would put mehndi on their arms, etc.
What happens, men put it in hotter climates?
It depends what if they're using it for medicine, for example, their nails. Yeah.
But some men, what they do is you'll see them in hotter climates, they'll put it on the soles of the feet. Because it's cooling.
Exactly.
It's cooling, yeah.
Or even the beards,
and the beards, I think, is okay, but the hands...
No, these are okay, yeah.
Yeah. Hands and the feet are cooling. So she just told me that. So I thought, okay. But what I'm saying to you is that the environment there. So, you know, Dawat Islami is providing the tools, you know, for all of those parents that are outside there that are thinking that I am worried. Dawat Islami is providing the tools. But I think what's very important, Shabazz Bhai, is we don't leave too late. Yeah. We've had so many, you probably had phone calls. I've had many, many phone calls where people say, my child is on the street, please help him. How old is your child? 14, 15, 16. And I remember my wife getting a phone call from London. And the sister said to my wife, I'm really worried about my daughter. Yeah. And you know, the society, I'm really worried about what's going to happen. And, and my wife said to her, how old is your daughter? And she said, 2 months.
Yeah. Wow.
And I thought, that's the mindset that we need to have. That at that young age, at that age, when your child's at that age, that look, I need to be concerned about my child's future rather than waiting until that child's 14, 15, 16, which is what normally happens.
Alhamdulillah, one thing which makes my days, I get the same as well when I go home. Honestly, alhamdulillah. And sometimes I think, alhamdulillah, you know, like, I'm really surprised. And this is somebody, because I'm really fortunate I was able to marry somebody who's brought up within Dawat Islami. Alhamdulillah. Honestly, so many times I think, wow. Even my own family, they're not in the Madinah Mahal, but they really respect that too. And they think, wow, alhamdulillah. It's
well, that's
beautiful.
Why, you know, I mean, you'll probably be able to quote it better than myself, that when choosing a spouse, You know, what is the thing that you should look at?
Jee.
And it's the bringing the, you know, the tarbiyat themselves, what a kind of person them is. Jee. Beauty is the visa, it expires. Mm. Yeah. Character stays with you forever. Character is your passport. Beauty is a visa.
Let's first move to the hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that destitute muhajireen came to the court of the beloved and blessed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and humbly asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the rich have gained high ranks and eternal blessings. The Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, how? They replied, they offer salah like us and observe fasts like us. They give charity, but we cannot. They free slaves, but we cannot do so. Listening to this, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, should I not teach you such a thing whereby you join those who are ahead of you and outstrip those who are behind you? And no one will be greater than you except for the one who performs the same deed like you. Blessed companions humbly said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please teach us. He said, you recite Subhanallah, which is the tasbih, Alhamdulillah, which is tahmid, and Allahu Akbar, which is takbir, 33 times each after every salah. Dear viewers of Madani channel, instead of complaining about deprivation, destitution, and domestic problems, we should remain content with the will of Allah and always focus our attention to His mercy, following in the footsteps of our pious predecessors. We should also make dua in abundance. O Allah Azza wa Jal, have mercy upon us and make us rich in good deeds. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. I'm just imagining many parents out there, some would even be feeling scared, especially if you know they have kids or others around them, would be thinking, wow, what sort of parent am I? But many viewers of inshallah, alhamdulillah, Aziz wa Jal, there's always time to change, always time to improve yourself. And sometimes it's not about you, no. You know, you may have made mistakes, it doesn't matter. It's not about you, it's about your child, it's about, you know, your children, my dear viewers. And as he said, you know, the time may come, and may it not ever happen like this, my dear viewers, but it is possible that it could be not only they're disobeying you, but and not only even just disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but losing their iman too. Khalid bhai, we've got to move on, inshallah. We've got our daily riddle.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Am I ready? Do I have a choice?
Allahu Akbar. Now you are being compared to Harun by Hafiz Rufaqat Saab.
Sure.
Habiba, mashallah, is quite good.
Okay, mashallah.
Habiba is really well at it. It's quite a famous one. I just hope you've not heard of it.
Okay.
What belongs to you, but others use it more than you? What belongs to you?
But others use it.
But others use it more than you.
What belongs to you, but others use it more than you?
Mm.
I'm trying to think of something that's character related, but I can't think of anything. No, I'm sorry. You stumped me on that.
Guess. You're going
to
give up that question.
What belongs to you, but others use it more than you? No, sorry. I'm stumped.
Nothing.
I can't.
Nothing coming.
Because whatever's coming to my mind, it's not right. As soon as I think of it, I think, no, that's not right. That's not right. That's not right.
What is it that's coming to your mind?
Well, you're thinking of knowledge, your actions, your deeds, your character, you know. But obviously, you're something that what belongs to you, but others use it more than you. So it's not even your speech. It's not even your tongue. It's nothing. No, sorry.
Khalid bhai,
I'm a failure.
Allah Akbar. So we have, mashallah, Khalid bhai, we had Hafiz Rufaqat Sahib, we had...
Am I bottom of the tree?
Sorry, we had Harun Bhai. MashaAllah, Harun Bhai, he took some time, a few guesses, and they eventually got there.
You know, I'm really glad that you're going to give me the answer before the end of this program, because this is a sort of riddle that if you don't give me the answer, it's going to trouble me all day.
I think we'll leave it then.
Don't do that, please. It's going to trouble me all day. You know, certain things happen that you're trying to, and it's just, you can't get it out of your mind.
Would you have anything which other people would generally use, maybe not more than you? What would other people make use of? Do you think your money?
Well, I'm thinking like my house, my family's in my house more than me. I'm hardly at home, so they're using the home more than me. Yeah. But that's probably not what you're looking
at. That's not what I'm looking for, but that's quite a good one.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think of...
To be honest, that's the best one we've had, in fact.
Achoo.
Yes, it is, because, you know, one brother said intellect or knowledge, and it's like, or hearing, and they're coming out with all sorts of things.
I'm thinking my house is the only one, I think, because I'm hardly at home. Literally go home and sleep. So 8, 9, 10 hours a day, maximum at home.
That's actually a brilliant one. But the answer is your name.
Your name. Achoo. Yes. What belongs to you? Yeah, because people call you your name more. Yes. I was just thinking, in an office environment, you're writing your name many more times, but you still, other people use your name more.
That's just
Jazakallah for putting me out of my misery.
May Allah bless you. Khalid Bhai, okay. I would like to ask you something. What department of Dawat Islami amazes you the most, or has astonished you?
Allahu Akbar. For a religious organization, I think any religious organization is traditional to have the madrasas. Yeah. Mm. It's traditional to have education establishments, you know, be it the madrasas, the jamias, and even now the schooling systems. But I think what is unique about the religious organization and going out to its comfort zone is this Madani channel. And this is where I think that Dawat Islami went out of its comfort zone and established this channel, where you had people like Nigrani Shura, who'd obviously had no idea of satellite broadcasting. I remember here in the UK, when I was phoned and told to bring Madani channel here into the UK, I ain't got a clue. Where do you start? Where do you even start to bring a signal that's in Pakistan here? So I think Madani channel and the effects that it's had and the benefit that it's had here in the UK and probably all around the world as well, I think is what astonishes me the most. And you can also, you've been to Pakistan yourself. Here in the UK, we sat here in the studio. There's one set over here, there's one set over there, there's another set behind there. There's three or four sets here in this place. And there's a small control room behind us, yeah?
Yeah.
But you know in Pakistan that the setup there, yeah? And so you see so many people behind the scenes. People that are watching this program now, they're seeing a picture of me, a picture of Shabazz, and they're thinking, yeah, there's two people here, they're talking to each other, yeah, and that's all it is. But so many people working behind the scenes. You've got an AFPS in you, you've got people talking to you in the studio here, you've got people talking to you in Pakistan here. And so much, so if one thing was to amaze me more than anything else, it's Madani channel. And it's probably not the department that you're going to show, but it's the department that amazes me.
Why? Why though? Because of the amount of people, is this?
I think the impact that it's had. The impact that it's had, that, you know, if I look at Dawat Islami where we were 11 years ago in the UK, yeah, and Dawat Islami was like doing this. Yeah, it was increasing. But that's what happened when Madani channel came on. And it came on, it's like that, and that curve is so steep that to manage it and to look after it, I mean, alhamdulillah, you know, the Madani work, all the, everything that's associated with Dawat Islami is improved as a result of this.
Of Madani channel.
As a result of Madani channel. I know there's not a lot of time, but there's one thing I want to mention. You mentioned it early on about parents, and sorry I'm coming back to the topic, but you said that a lot of parents are scared now, maybe scared watching what we just said. Fear in this is a good thing. Parents need to be scared.
Yeah? Yes.
And so if you are scared out there, then that's a good thing that's making you realize that you are going to try and do something about it. Sorry, going off topic again.
No problem. Jazakallahu khairan, mashallah, beautiful advice. Khalid Bhai, any last words?
Allahu Akbar. Any last words? Take the role of parenting very, very seriously, which is the role of the parents. And for children, value your parents, because you do not know how valuable they are.
Subhanallah. You do not know how valuable they are. Allahu Akbar. My viewers of Madani channel, that's all for now. Inshallah, we shall be returning. Please continue to recite the Durood. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah,
by the grace of Allah. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.